So, what has happened as a result of Christ coming to this earth? God himself came to the earth. What's changed? Don't kingdoms, nations rise and nations fall? Religions come on the scene and religions disappear? Philosophies come, philosophies go, just like they did before he ever came. What's changed? Did he make any difference? I mean, wouldn't you think? I don't, just as I naturally think about it, I would think that if God came to earth, what would be a big deal? And that something would result from that. Why is it? If you would look at the earth now and then look at it before he came, would there be a great deal of difference? Don't things just kind of go on the way they've always gone on? Did he make any kind of difference? Now, to us who have been given this wonderful, incredible book that contains words of life, yeah, there's a catastrophic difference. But why isn't it obvious? Megyn Kelly gets on the news, why doesn't she say, you know, as a result of Christ coming to the earth, you know what's happened today? Why don't they all be Peter Jennings? Oh my gosh, no. Walter Cronkite, I got to get out of that century. David Muir, when he gets on there, why didn't he? Yeah, guess, look at, and all of this is a big result of God himself coming to the, you don't hear about it. How come you don't hear about it? How come it isn't more obvious? How come we can't see what should have been a catastrophic change in things? Well, if you have confidence in this book will tell us, oh, there was a humongous change in everything as a result of Christ coming to this earth. Now, if you're saying, well, I suppose we have churches everywhere, I don't know, but as far as the direction of the earth or anything, I would have to have this book tell me about it. So let's look at what the book of Hebrews tells us about what Christ actually did when he came. Now, you remember the whole context of Hebrews is he's talking to the Hebrews, that's Jewish Christians who are trying to decide, do I want to stick with the law, the law of Moses that God gave us, you know, to keep us safe in the promised land and told us how to live, how we should live in the promised land. Do I want to leave all that behind and embrace this person, Jesus Christ, and build my life around this person, Jesus Christ, as opposed to all of these regulations that our nation was supposed to keep? Do I really want to make that big a switch? And all of the argument of the whole book of Hebrews is about, yes, leave whatever, and come to this person, Jesus Christ. Verse 25, and another way of saying it, we won't get into it again, but another word of way of saying it is leave the old covenant and adopt the new covenant, embrace the new covenant. Now we're in chapter 12, verse 25. He's continuing his argument, and he says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Christ has introduced this new covenant, this blessing from God, this unilateral agreement with God. And he says, from God, he says, I'll bless you, I'll forgive your sins, I'll give you eternal life if you'll just believe that the death of my son on that cross purchases all that for you. It purchases your forgiveness, it purchases your justification, you're blameless, it purchases your sanctification, you will be made holy because of what he did. Just embrace it. Christ brought that message. That's the new covenant. And he warns them, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Don't ignore it. Just like I told the kids, what's the direction up there? Yeah, okay, it's pretty clear. And then I go off other ways. Accept the gospel. Believe the gospel. The gospel that the kids sang about. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That if I believe in him, I will have eternal life. I will not perish. The gospel, the good news. He says, see to it that you don't refuse that, that you don't just ignore it. You don't have to be opposed to it to refuse it. All you have to do to refuse it is say, not embrace it, not believe it, not rely on it, not trust in it. And so he says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. And that's Christ himself who's brought the gospel to us. How seriously does he take it? Look in the middle of this verse. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. What he's talking about is this old covenant. Moses brought the covenant to the nation of Israel. And he says, you need to accept this covenant. You need to live by it. That was important. And those people who said, maybe we'll see. And then we get out into the wilderness on our way to the promised land, and some of them say, I'm not sure I buy this. I think I'd rather go back to being a slave in Egypt than be out here in this hot desert. And they refuse it. No, I'm not going to buy this old covenant. You know what happened to them? They never made it to the promised land. They died in the wilderness because they refused it. He said, look how important that old covenant was. And the ones who said, I'm not buying it, they lost all the benefits of it. He says, now, if God took that seriously, how much more seriously do you think he takes the fact that someone would reject the grace of God? Someone would reject the gospel that Jesus Christ, his son, Moses brought that covenant. He spoke through Moses. Now he comes in his son. How much more important, how much more serious is he to take it when I say no to his son and I say no to his grace? If he didn't ignore their refusal, he's certainly not going to ignore my refusal of the gospel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those who escaped when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then. Right? His voice shook the earth. Remember, we had the picture of the flames up there, and we read the account of what happened on Mount Sinai when he brought that old covenant. The mountain literally shook. Don't come near, stay away, because law always separates you from God because you can't keep it. He says it was a dramatic thing. His voice shook the earth then, meaning shaking that mountain and all the earth around it. But now he has promised, and this idea of promise he has proclaimed, he has promised saying, yet once more, I shall shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. When? When was that? This is a sieve, I guess, right? Flour sieve? I don't know. You put something in here, right? And you shake it so that what you really want, the pure flour, whatever, comes through and all the gunk remains. Or maybe it works the other way. You put it in and all the gunk flows out and the good stuff remains. I don't know how it works. Let's say it works this way. All the good stuff comes through and all the gunk is there so you can throw it away. And what you've got left is purity. Think of that when you read this. Verse 26. His voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. A lot of people relate this to, yeah, that's what's going to happen when Christ comes back, and all these fanciful images about what's going to happen when Christ comes back. A lot of commentators also say, look, he's talking about what Christ did when he came the first time. I shook the earth when I brought the old covenant. That earth, I shook that mountain. But now, when I bring the new covenant through my son, Jesus Christ, I'll shake the earth and I'll shake heaven. Everything will be shaken up. Did that happen? Listen to this from the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul is telling us, really, what difference did Christ make when he came to this earth? This is Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. Christ made known to us the mystery of his will. Christ came from heaven to this earth and told us about something we didn't know anything about. The mystery. What is it? What is a mystery, when it's used in the New Testament, is something God knows that we don't know. And Christ has come to the earth to tell us what God knows that we didn't know until he came to reveal it. What? God's got a plan. God's got a goal, and he's going to take this earth and you along with it to that goal and to that plan. Verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, that's the motive he has behind this will, which he has purposed in Christ. He had a very definite purpose for bringing Christ to this earth, and that purpose he accomplished, and it was catastrophic. It changed everything, and you'd never know it unless this had been given to you. Now, verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 1. Here's what he's doing. With a view to an administration, Christ came to set up an administration. Bush came to set up an administration. We talk about the Bush administration. Now we have the Obama administration. Obama doesn't do things the way Bush did. Christ doesn't do things the way anybody does it, because he is the Son of God. And why did he come to the earth? What difference does it make? He took the whole earth, and he's moving the earth toward his administration, his rule, his authority, his way of doing things. Verse 10, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times. He came at the right time. He didn't come too late. He didn't come too early. He came just at the right time to start this movement toward his administration, his rule, his authority. He began that at his coming. That's catastrophic, because it's the whole earth. I, God himself, am taking the earth in this direction under the rule and the administration of my son. Verse 10, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, here's what it is. Here's the administration. Here's what he's all about. Here's what he's doing. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ. Summing up of all things in Christ. This word summing up is really a financial word. It talks about, well, actually, when we say sum, we say the total. You add up all these numbers, and you total it, and there, that's the bottom line. And what he's saying is, when Christ came to this earth, he started this movement toward the administration, his way of doing things, under his authority and under his administration. And the bottom line of that administration, the bottom line of that administration, the summing up of all things, if you put everything together, what's the bottom line of everything? Here you got the list. You got philosophies, you've got history, you've got religions, you've got blah, 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 blah. What's the one thing that's the bottom line? With a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of all things, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, all things in Christ. He is the bottom line. This person, Jesus Christ. Everything in history, everything in your individual life, at the bottom line of it, is Christ. He ordained it. He established it, and he's going to produce what he wants in your life and in the administration of the entire universe. What is it all about? Why are we here? Where are we going? Sum it all up. The bottom line is Christ and his will, Christ and his kingdom. That's what it's all about. And how would you ever know that? How would you? He said, it's a mystery. What's God doing? Where are we going? Here's the mystery of it all. The bottom line of everything is Christ, and he is moving this entire world to his eternal kingdom. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth in him. Christ, the supreme person, that's what it's all about. That's where, that's the purpose of all of the movement of history and the way it goes. He has shaken the earth, but the earth doesn't even know it, do they? I mean, the majority of people, what's the purpose of the life? I don't know. You know, you just do your best you can. No. Christ has shaken the earth and said, I am moving this earth, and I am moving all of you people in this earth toward my administration, toward my eternal, everlasting kingdom. And he started that when he came to the earth. Who would know? Only those who have been exposed to the Word of God. That's how he shook the earth. How did he shake heaven? He said, remember back in verse of our passage, verse 26, the last part of verse 26, he said, I shook that mountain to begin with, but now I'm going to shake the whole earth and also heaven. When did he shake heaven? How did he shake heaven? Let me tell you this story. This comes from Luke. I don't think let's go. Yeah, we got all kinds of time. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Here's the context of this. Jesus said, okay, now I'm going to send out 70 of you people to announce the kingdom of God is at hand. Here I am. I'm the king of the kingdom. I'm God himself. And I'm announcing, I'm bringing my kingdom to this earth. I want you to go out and tell people and to sort of authenticate you, to sort of prove that what you're saying is the truth, I'm going to give you the power to heal people. You won't have to have long seasons of prayer. You just go, and if somebody's sick, you just go boom, and you'll wake them up, and you'll boom, you will actually heal them. Zzz. Why am I healed? I was sick and now I'm well. You're healed because God gave me that ability to heal you, to prove to you what I'm saying about his kingdom is now starting. And they did all kinds of things, cast out demons. So they go do all that he told them to do, and they come back to him, and they're really excited. They say, Jesus, the demons were subject to us, and we could heal people. We had amazing power, and they're very excited about it. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 10. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now look at the answer he gives them. Look how he responds. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Well, that's not the... Here we come. Lord, what you said was true. We were able to heal people and demons were cast out. We had all this great power. It was really a success. Our trip was a success. And he says, I saw Satan thrown out of heaven. What's he saying? It has started. The kingdom I came to bring has started. I am shaking the earth. I'm bringing the program that will ultimately end in my administration. I'm starting it on the earth, and things are also happening in heaven. When the Apostle John was writing in Revelation, he gives this vision. He says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels raging war with the dragon. That was the dragon in the book of Revelation is Satan. And the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. He says, I gave you the power to do things. Guess what I've been doing? I've been watching a scene in heaven that John's going to repeat later, and Satan was cast out. I'm shaking up everything. I'm taking this earth, and I'm moving it to my administration. I'm cleansing even heaven. Satan had access to God's presence. Remember, he went before God and said, you know, Job just serves you because he had access to God. And now my kingdom is starting. He's cast out of heaven, and this earth is moving toward my administration. Did anything happen when Christ came? The whole earth was shaken because the kingdom of God started. Even heaven was shaken because Satan himself is kicked out. Anything happened? Everything happened. You just wouldn't know it unless you heard it from God through his word. Now back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. And this expression, he's quoting again this promise, yet once more, and I'm going to shake one more time, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. What's the idea of that? When you're in a sieve, certain things can be shaken. Now I'm going to reverse it. I'm going to say, we're keeping the good stuff here and the bad stuff's going out because it's the result of shaking. I'm shaking the earth and the heaven because I'm establishing my kingdom. And you know what's going to remain? We'll get to that in a minute. But you know what's being shaken? He said some things can be shaken. And he said everything created can be shaken. A religion can be shaken. I can shake that religion and it'll just fall right out. I can shake that government and it'll just fall right out. I can shake the philosophical movements of Islam and it'll be just right out. I can shake the philosophical position of democracy and it'll just fall right out. And that's what I'm doing. I'm shaking everything and all that's impure and all that's wrong is going to fall out. And you know what's going to remain? Me, Christ, the Son of God, and my kingdom. That's where it's going. That's where your life is going. That's where this world is going. Verse 27, and this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken. What can be shaken? Everything. But God and his Christ. It denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, and as of created things, all those things are created, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. In other words, Christ, his kingdom, his love for you. I don't know. Does that give you hope? When you hear what happened in Orlando, and you hear what happened in Dallas, and you hear what happens in Nice and in Paris, and you think, this world is coming apart. No, it's not coming apart. But it is being shaken, and it's being sifted. And all this shaking and all this sifting is moving toward the time when all that's left is the administration of Christ, his infinite love, his infinite goodness, and your participation in it because he shares it with you. If you love him, he shares it with you. And the evil is going to be left behind, and the terrorism is going to be left behind, and the unbelief is going to be left behind. I'm shaking. Anything happened when Christ came? He started the shaking of this earth and of heaven itself, of everything. And what's going to be the result of all this shaking? Only the pure, only the true, only the righteous will remain. Does that give you any hope? How should we respond to this? Look at verse 28. Therefore, you know, knowing this, since I've told you about all this shaking, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, and notice, we receive it. There are some movements in Christianity that say, we got to bring in the kingdom. We got to do our work. some of even the missional aspects of the missional movement is, we got to bring in the kingdom. You don't go to church, you are the church. So get out there. It'd be more important for you to be out in the world than for you to be gathered here in these safe walls with everybody who agrees with you. I don't believe that. I don't believe we bring in the kingdom of God. Do you know who does believe that? The radical Islamists. That's why they'll cut your head off. Because that's a good thing. Because in doing so, they're doing the shaking. And they're ridding the earth of evil. And they are bringing in their caliphate. And they are bringing in the final imam who will rule. But it's their job to bring it in. No wonder they'd be willing to cut your head off. Not so with Christians. You know what they do? They receive a kingdom. Notice verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom. Do you know what we're doing here? You know why we get together? To receive from God. To receive from the promises of His Word. And that'll change you. Yeah, that doesn't mean, well, oh, you're saying you should never witness and we shouldn't evangelize. Listen, if you receive the kingdom of God, it will change the way you think, and it'll change the way you talk with people, and it'll come out. Don't worry, it'll come out. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom that God is creating, which cannot be shaken, His eternal kingdom, what should we do? Let's show gratitude. Just be glad.
Well, what kind of witness is that?
A beautiful witness. Huh? People read the papers, the people hear the news, and they just get frantic. Let's elect somebody who will keep us safe for crying out loud. But here you come along. Here you come along. And you're not upset, and you are filled with gratitude. You know what? In spite of all that's going on, I know something. I know that God, Christ Himself, when He came to this earth, He started a shaking, and He's moving us to His administration. And I am so glad. I am not just like the funeral yesterday. Huh? Without God, people would look at that accident. They would look at as this person's life was prematurely taken, and it was taken by a horrible accident. The Christian says, this is what's going on. And if it doesn't make sense to you and you can't explain everything, you can't figure it all out, you know this. He said, I'm going to shake everything. And the result of my shaking is that there's going to be one thing left. My beautiful Christ and His kingdom and all the infinite love. I'm glad. I'm not glad that horrible things happen, but I'm glad that I'm not caught there. I'm glad that I'm not bogged down in it. I'm glad that I'm looking forward to the result of Christ's shaking that He began when He brought in the new covenant. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let's show gratitude. Be grateful to God. Don't, oh God, everything's going to you know where. And no, oh God, I'm grateful to You that You're there. And that You're working things out. We're receiving this kingdom. Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Ha ha. An acceptable service. God, in the midst of all this shaking, I'm going to serve You with gratitude, with reverence, because I know there's purpose to it. I know there's movement in it. And with awe. I cannot understand it, but I do believe my little dinky life in Bailey, Colorado is part of God's moving of the earth to the administration of His beloved Christ. You know I'm in over my head, don't you? This shaking of the earth and the shaking of heaven. What does it all mean? It means hope. that you who love Christ will not always experience accidents and premature death and evil. You who love Christ have been promised when he's through shaking that he began. Anything happened when Christ came to the earth? He started shaking the earth and the heaven, and it will all end with you in his heaven, in his love, in his eternal excitement. Is that worth telling anybody about? Is that worth sharing with anybody? About how grateful you are and about how reverently you see God and his work in this world and how you stand in awe of him. And now, Heavenly Father, these things that you have told us are pretty deep for us, but we believe to the degree we understand. And we believe what you say about shaking things up and moving the world to the kingdom everlasting of Christ. And that you allow us to be part of it by faith in your Son Christ is to us a most awesome thing. We stand in awe of it, and we stand in reverence. Because we know, Father, we did not produce any of this. We are receiving it from you. Help us to receive. Help us to be grateful. Help us to be reverent and to look upon you with the most appropriate awe. Grant to us faith in all your word and in all your truth. We will forever praise you for the work you do in this world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.